Today is October the 10th, 2010. 10, 10, 10. And you know none of us in this building today will see this occur again because it will be in the year 2110 when this reoccurs, which will be 100 years from now. So I just thought it was a historical thing to look and say, 10, 10, 10, I guess it's better than 6, 6, 6. So, but you know, as I was working on this lesson, I got to thinking about all of the twos spelled T-W-O-S, twos that are mentioned in the New Testament. So I thought it might be a little interesting to take a look at a few of those twos this morning. First of all, the Bible speaks of two masters. I want us to look in Luke 16 and verse 13. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or the riches of this world is what mammon actually is. And as we look at this and we think about this, there are two real masters in this universe. One is the Jehovah God, Yahweh, as the Jews called him. The other is the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, Satan, that old dragon, the devil, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. And these two masters are locked in a struggle for every soul that has ever lived or will live on this earth. They're in a struggle constantly. God is trying to say, do this. The devil is saying, you don't have to do this. And it's kind of like, you remember as children when you used to play tug of war? One group of kids would get on one side and have the rope, and the other kids get on the other side. And you'd always see who could pull them across the middle, unless you were kind of conniving like we were and we'd let the rope go and see them fall. But you know, that's kind of the way the devil and the Lord are doing. They're in a tug of war. And guess what? Both of them want your soul. Both of them. And the devil is trying to compromise everything that God does for good. The devil compromises with evil. The devil is doing all he can to pull your soul away with him in order for it to be destroyed in the burning fires of torment. I want you to look with me here, if you will, at 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And you know what? He's trying to devour all of us. I hope the devil is not naive enough to think he's going to win in the end. He's not. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that the devil and all of his angels will be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire dieth not, and the stench of the worm dies not. The devil knows he's going to lose, but he wants as many to go with him as he possibly can get to prove a point to God. You died for all these people. You sent your son to die, and look how they paid you back. I've got them. We need to think about that. You know, in the institution of the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper, that was the last meal they shared. That's where, and you know, people get confused a lot between the Lord's Supper and the Last Supper. Well, the Last Supper is when Jesus and all of his apostles came together and assembled to eat. And it was at that Last Supper that he instituted the Lord's Supper, when he took bread and blessed it and gave it to them, and when he took the cup and blessed it and told them to drink. But you know what? He said, the one that who betrays me's hands on this table. And he even warned Peter that, oh, devil is after you even during this time. I want you to look at Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as the wheat. And we know what Peter did, don't we? We know he denied the Lord three times before the rooster crowed twice. And he followed afar off. But then the only thing that saved Peter is that he wept bitterly and repented. If not, the old devil would have had him. So this morning, I want to remind you that we can only serve one master. And right now, my question is, which master are you serving? Which master are you serving? Well, let's look at another of the twos. There are two paths. If you look with me in Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And you know, as many times as we have read this verse or these verses, I wonder how many times we have seriously thought about questions that could be asked about these two verses. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and straight or difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Now, these are two of the questions I came up with. And let's see in your minds how you would answer the question, as I would tell you how I would answer them. My first question is, why is the way that leads to destruction wide and broad? Why is it that way? Do you ever stop and think about that? We just read that it is. But if we ever ask ourselves, why is it wide and broad? Now you think of your answer. My answer is, it takes no real effort to be lost. It takes no real effort to be lost. You can do nothing, and that's what the devil wants you to do. Well, my second question is, why is the way that leads to life straight and narrow? Or, as the word straight in the Greek means, difficult. It's not talking about a straight line. Difficult. So why is the way that leads to life narrow and difficult? Now you think about your answer. And I'm going to give you mine. It's right the opposite of the other. The way of salvation requires effort. It requires that we must do something. If we're on that broad and wide, we don't have to do anything but just kind of shift along with the crowd. But if we're on that broad, that narrow and difficult way that leads to the life, it requires effort on our part. There are things that you and I must do in order to stay on the narrow and straight way that leads to life. Now, two other observances about these two verses or observations. First of all, it says that the road that leads to destruction, there are many which go in thereby. Do you know what that tells me? That Christians are always in the minority. And you stop and think about it. We are in the minority. We are in the minority. And then another thing that this passage tells me is the way that leads to life, few there be that find it. You know what this is telling me? That the majority of humankind is going to be lost. Now you think about that. All of that we find in those two verses. Well, I guess my question is, which path are you traveling today? Are you traveling the broad and wide, or are you traveling the difficult and narrow? You remember Joshua? As my grandma used to say, Joshua. You hadn't heard from my grandma in a long time. I've let her rest for a long time. But my grandma said, Joshua, you remember the decision that Joshua had to make in Joshua 24:15? He was encouraging all of those people. If Baal be God, then worship him. If Jehovah be God, then worship him. But then he said, but as for me and my house, he's telling these people, choose you today whom you're going to serve, either Baal or Jehovah. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Do you know something? He had to go against popular opinion. He had to go against maybe many of his friends' decisions on the roads they were traveling. You know, that's why I say the road that leads to life is difficult and narrow. But he made the decision. And you know something? From what I read in my Bible, he didn't have a problem at all in making that choice. Now, what choice are we making today? What road, what path are we following? Are we going along with the crowd and just drift right on down? Or are we going the difficult way, which requires effort on our part? The third of the twos that I'd like to talk about is there are two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of darkness, where evil and sin and wickedness exist. You remember Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, and he was saying that he gave a whole bunch of people there, and he said, these will not inherit the kingdom of God. And do you remember how he closed that with, and such were some of you? Well, you know something? We all came from the kingdom of darkness, every one of us. Because he says in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then there's the kingdom of light, where dwells righteousness and mercy and forgiveness and love and compassion and the church and the saved. And one day, heaven. In Colossians 1, in verses 13 and 14, we read, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Love, of his dear Son's love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What does that tell us? We're all in darkness until we are able, through the blood of Christ, through our baptism, our obedience to the gospel of Christ, we are going to remain in that kingdom of darkness until that occurs, and then he will translate us into the kingdom of light. You remember what it says in Acts chapter 2? And day by day, the saved was added to the church. Those who had obeyed the gospel of Christ, day by day, the Lord added to the church. Day by day. When a person is obedient to the gospel of Christ, it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. It can be on a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Saturday night. But when that person is obedient to God, that person, because God himself does it, adds us to the church. We don't vote each other in and out. If that's the case, some of us that have been gone a long time ago, probably including me. But you know, the point is, as we look at it, God adds us. He brings us into that kingdom of life. Now, the question this morning is this. Which kingdom do you find yourself in right now? Which kingdom? The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light? Now, let's not play games. If you've not, that's exactly right. We do not need to play games. But you know something, as we look at this, we remain, and let's be honest, we remain in the kingdom of darkness until we're obedient to God, and then God brings us into the kingdom of light. And lastly, and I've not held your attention too long, I know that 20 minutes and it's over with, your attention span, that is, you know, the seed of knowledge can only comprehend as much as the mind will endure. 20 minutes. Stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down. And I'm about to do those. Two of them. I'm about to shut up and sit down. But on this last one, there are two destinies. Two destinies. There is that place that is called heaven. And do you know something, folks? I want you to hear this. Heaven is a real place. And then there's hell, which is the eternal fires of torment. And just as heaven is real, so is hell a real place. People talk about, well, there is no hell. Well, hello, they're going to be surprised. Because I believe with all of my heart that just as sure as the Lord went back to prepare us a place, just as sure as I know that when the devil was cast down and all of his angels with him, and I know that the bottomless pit is there, and I know it's going to be filled with all evil. Now, we need to ask ourselves, which one do we want to go to? Which one do you want to spend eternity in? I look at Matthew 25 and verse 46. And Jesus says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And then in Revelation 20 and verses 12 through 15, we read, and I, John speaking, saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The books that were opened were the books of the New Testament. And we had to be obedient to what is taught in the New Testament in order to get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Have you ever understood what that means, really? It's all of those commandments that Jesus and the apostles gave us that are written in the New Testament. The works we do, we're going to be judged by those works that we do in comparison to what we've been taught in the New Testament. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, maybe we all need to ask ourselves, don't I need to straighten my act up? I know I do. I know I fall short on a lot of things. But you know what? You do too. We all do. We could all do better. There's no room. There's room, rather, in every one of us for spiritual growth. And I'm pointing at me first. But that points to all of you. Are we attentive to God? Are we attentive to his work? Do we come to this place to truly worship or carry on conversation? And I want to finish. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What's your destiny this morning? Where are you headed? We sing the song, I'm bound for the promised land. Well, I haven't heard any of us singing, I'm bound for hell. Have you sung that one lately? To the fires of torment I will gladly go. I am bound for eternal hell. I haven't heard us singing that. My question is, why not? If we don't change our ways, some of us might wind up there. Oh, no, Brother Jimmy, we don't sing that. We sing, I am bound for the promised land. Well, which destiny will be yours? And in closing, I ask these four questions. Which of the two masters do you serve? Which of the two paths are you traveling? In which of the two kingdoms do you find yourself presently? And which of the two destinies will be your eternal home? Folks, it's time to quit playing religion. It's time to get serious and sincere about worshiping the true and living God. It's time to get serious. It's time to be sincere about the gospel plan of salvation, knowing that's the only way that we can get to God the Father is through Christ the Son. In Romans 10 and verse 17, he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without this faith, it's impossible to please him, and we must believe that he is. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then in Matthew 16:16 and following, the Lord looking at Peter says, whom do men say that I am? And his answer, thou art Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And then the Lord said, but whom do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And based upon that confession, according to Acts 2:38, we're baptized, every one of us, unto the remission of sins. And then Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. My question, where will you spend eternity? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hey folks, you can be washed in Tide or Fab or Cheer or all those other things, and no matter how clean they say it takes and makes you clothes, it won't make us that clean. The only thing that will is the precious blood of Christ. And you have an opportunity this morning. If you're subject to heaven's call in any way, will you come, please, while together we stand?